Well, the US president has chosen this moment of multiple crises, the pandemic, a tanking economy, protests over black rights, to ramp up his threats against a key European ally. He says he's authorised a plan to cut 9,500 of the 34,500 US troops currently based in Germany. A top German diplomat has warned it'd shake the pillars of the transatlantic relationship, that's the heart of the NATO alliance, while others observe the move would delight the Kremlin. But will it happen? Dr. Karen von Hippel is the Director General of the Royal United Services Institute in London. She's also served in numerous posts in the US State Department. Karen von Hippel, thank you for your time today. Donald Trump's threat, just a threat at this stage, to cut 9,500 of America's 34,000-ish troops based in Germany. Do you think he'll carry that out?
You know, it's unclear. He often makes these types of threats, and then it's almost as if he doesn't care if they happen in reality, because he's really appealing to his base. There are already 22 Republicans in Congress against it, and certainly Congress, while they can't block him from redeploying troops, they control the purse strings, so they certainly could prevent him spending money on a redeployment. So I have a feeling that those that are against it will come up with all sorts of creative ways to slow roll it until the election, and then we'll see what happens.
And a re-elected Trump presumably would feel empowered, although we're guessing empowered, to go ahead then.
Yeah, I mean, a re-elected Trump, all sorts of things could happen that would negatively impact U.S. security. He could try to pull U.S. out of NATO. There are all sorts of things that he has threatened to do that he would feel entitled to do. So, yeah, that would be a big concern.
Why does NATO matter to the United States now anyway? I mean, we're well past the Soviet Union, Russia, yes, not anybody's friend in the West, but it's a different era. Does it still have value for the United States?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, the challenges that we face globally are so complex that no country on its own, even a superpower like the United States, can manage. I mean, you've seen how incapable Trump is of working with allies to achieve anything. And so the COVID response is a great example. It was every man for himself instead of working together to come up with common strategies to confront this. So, you know, NATO has done many important actions. Obviously, it provides security in particular for Europe. It provides security against a Russian threat, which is still very real. So it's very important, but obviously other alliances and other global institutions matter. And, you know, it's unclear to me that he appreciates why they matter.
And when Trump made this announcement, whether or not it comes to pass, what do you think the response would have been in Vladimir Putin's office?
Oh, yeah. Russia would be very thrilled. All Russia wants to do is weaken European security and weaken the transatlantic alliance. So they're delighted by this. You know, they seem to have a very good ally in President Trump, whether it's intentional or not. He seems to be doing many things that they've wanted the U.S. to do for some time.
On the other hand, U.S. troops based in Germany have been falling over the years. I mean, there was a peak of 200,000 at the end of the Cold War, gradually decreased. Would there really be a practical effect on security for Europe and the US if 9,500 more were cut?
Well, look, I mean, I think a reasonable argument could be made about redeploying troops or reducing troop numbers as part of a larger strategy that the US has for security, for its own security and security in Europe. But that hasn't happened. We haven't heard an argument about why he wants to do it. You know, a lot of it just seems because he's eroded faith by so many of the things that he's done. Most people just think this is a fit of pique at Angela Merkel for refusing to come to D.C. For the G7 summit later this month. You know, obviously Germany needs to pay more for its defense. But on the other hand, I'm not even sure Trump understands that Germany pays over $1 billion a year for hosting U.S. troops. So it's not as if Germany is just sucking at the teat of the United States. Germany actually is paying cash and in-kind contributions to host U.S. troops. He's talking about potentially moving some of them maybe to Poland. But Poland, I don't know if they have the infrastructure to do something like that right away. So that would actually cost Poland money or the United States money. So I'm not entirely sure how much he understands all of these issues. I'm sure people brief him on these issues, but it's not entirely clear to me that he cares. And that's why I wonder if it won't happen, that he's just saying these things to appeal to his base.
Looking at a map of the US military installations in Germany, I mean, there are quite a number, and they are really big, and a lot of them are sort of cities in their own right almost. Is that presence welcomed in Germany?
Yeah, I think generally it has been welcomed. There are many jobs that the US bases provide for German nationals. Germany's home to two US commands, AFRICOM and European Command. It's also used for medical facilities, very advanced medical facilities for places like Afghanistan. If U.S. or allied troops get hurt, they get rushed to Ramstein. And so there are a number of purposes that the base serves. It's obviously there to strengthen NATO's eastern flank against potential Russian aggression. The other issue is it's not clear to me which troops he wants to remove any of that, like none of that's clear. So it's hard to say what the impact might be until he explains what types of troops, because there are a number of different types of U.S. troops over there.
I read that Peter Bayer, the German coordinator for transatlantic ties, said that if Trump moved along these lines, the damage that would be done would shake the pillars of the transatlantic relationship. Trump has been happy to challenge that relationship anyway. Is that an overstatement, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, the U.S.-German relationship has really been a pillar upholding peace in Europe in particular since the end of the Second World War. But Trump has shown his disdain for all of America's traditional allies that are incredibly important, from Canada to France to Germany, meanwhile expressing solidarity and support for a number of authoritarian leaders around the world. So, I think most of these leaders are crossing their fingers at elections that Biden will win and that there will be some sort of reset. It won't be business as usual beforehand. The world has changed. China is an emerging superpower, all sorts of things. And of course, many countries will be very mistrustful of America, even if someone like Biden, who cares about allies and alliances, wins, because they're worried that another Trump could win in the future. So, things will have changed no matter what, but I think they're all crossing their fingers. And if Trump wins again, they will come up with their own plans to just basically move apart from the United States and do their own thing together.
And is that doable? I mean, could NATO provide itself the defense it currently does without the United States?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be difficult. Don't forget, though, that I'm not saying that the U.S. will be able to pull out of NATO, but I'm saying that European allies will work in all sorts of ways to come up with partnerships to manage a number of the crises. With NATO, the U.S. Senate's very supportive of NATO, including the Republicans in the U.S. Senate, and they will do all they can to prevent U.S. from withdrawing. It's not even clear to me that Trump at this stage will win the Senate as well. So everything is so up in the air right now. But, I suppose the good news is that he's not very good at implementing his big ideas. And he doesn't really understand how the bureaucracy works. He seems to think he can say something and something will happen. And all sorts of people, in the yes minister fashion, are around him coming up with ways of slowing things, slow rolling things, or even blocking things from happening, because he just doesn't pay attention. Once he says something, he almost moves on. He's facing a huge crisis domestically after the killing of George Floyd across the country. And so probably is also looking for things to distract people. But, he's just seems to be lashing out in all sorts of ways right now.
Karen von Hippel, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Karen von Hippel is Director General of the Royal United Services Institute in London.